You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
We are in a series called Air Force, and so in this series, Air Force, basically we've been talking about wrestling, and we've been talking about the weapons of our warfare. And so these two things that we've been dealing with is fighting, and also what do we fight with? Those are the two things that we need to look at: fighting and what we fight with. And we looked at all of these aspects. And so what I want to look at today is the armor of God. Say armor. Praise God. And so a soldier without armor, if a soldier doesn't have armor, there's going to be a problem. How many believe that? If you're a soldier and you go into battle and you do not have armor, you're going to have some problems, because there's going to be no protection. And so that's what we want to look at. Get in your Bibles, Ephesians 6 verse 13. Ephesians 6 verse 13. The Bible says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet in the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask you right now that you would take dominion in this service. We pray, Father, that you would help us. You would show us, Heavenly Father, that we need your armor. Most of all, we pray that Jesus would be magnified. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. I want to deal with three things. Three things that we want to deal with in this service today. And those three things is, these are parts of the armor that you're going to need. And so the first thing is the belt. In this scripture, what he speaks about is that you need the belt. Now, in Bible times, I mean, when we think about a belt right now, we don't think of something which is really armor, which is defending us, which is, you know, really important. But when we're talking about a belt in Bible times, what they would do, they would have these long garments. Obviously, there was no trousers. Everyone was wearing these long garments. And so to have a belt, what you would do is you'd be wrapping up. It would enable you to wrap up all the loose bits of material. That's what a belt would do. And so having a belt in battle would help you because of three things. One, it would stop you from being tripped up. Because if you're going to run into battle and all of your garment is flowing all over the place, there's going to be a problem. How many understand that? There's going to be a problem. And so when the Bible speaks about having a belt, you're gathering all the loose parts of your life. And so without the belt, you could be tripped up, you could be caught, you could actually be held on to by if your enemy got hold of you in that. And the Bible says that our belt is made of truth. That's what our belt is made of, truth. What do we mean by that? Truth, honesty, sincerity. And this is with relationship with God. This is relationship with others. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 2 verse 21, for to this we were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. How many know that Jesus was honest? Jesus lived by truth, and he left us an example. And so think about this now. What the Bible is saying is that if we're gonna win in this battle, we need to have a belt of truth. You need to understand this is serious when it comes to truth. See, without truth, what's going to happen is that when you overlook truth, you're going to become a hypocrite. That's what it is. You're going to become a hypocrite. And the one that wears a hypocrite really and truly has just got a mask. This is not going to help you in the battle. What you need is the belt. To get victory over the enemy is truth. You need to bring areas of your life in with truth. People that are always living in hypocrisy, they're doing one thing in the church and another thing out of the church. What it is, there's loose parts of your life. There's parts of your life which are in darkness. And the enemy will get hold of those and he will use them to his advantage. And you see how many times someone can be doing so well for a period of time and then all of a sudden they fall, dramatically fall. It's like almost the enemy got the victory over them. What you find many times is there was hypocrisy. There were secret areas, is that they never girded themselves up with truth. And so as they're running in the battle, they trip up. As they're running in the battle, parts of their garments get caught on things. And so the first thing is that we need is a belt of truth to gain victory over the enemy. What do we mean by truth as well is the word of God. You need to wrap your life in what God says. So many times you're going to hear what the devil says. So many times you're going to hear what other people say. But what you need to listen to, what does God say about your circumstance? What is God saying about what you're going through? That's going to help you big time. First is the belt. Second is the breastplate of righteousness. That's what it said in our text. It says, having girded your waist. And so it speaks about a breastplate of righteousness. Now, a breastplate would protect the vital organs. How many know that? That's what a breastplate would do. It would protect your vital organs. And there's nothing more vital, really. The most vital organ that we have is the heart. Yeah. See, once the vital organs get damaged, you're not going to be much of a soldier. You can't really go far for God. So really what the devil really wants is to attack your vital organs, and what you need is the breastplate of righteousness to protect those areas. And the most vital thing is your heart. Your heart is what pumps blood to all the areas of your life, all the areas of your body. And so when the Bible speaks about this breastplate of righteousness, it's what protects your heart. Because listen, when the devil gets your heart, he gets everything. When he gets your heart, everything. See, the Bible says out of your heart flow all the issues of life. All the issues of life. So this is why someone could be serving God and they're happy, and then all of a sudden they don't want to read their Bible anymore. You ever been there? You don't want to pray anymore. What's happened is the enemy's attacking your heart. Then you come into church, you used to love church. Now you're not really getting on with anyone in church. You don't like the church. You see every little problem in the church. Listen, the church has always had problems. It had problems before you came, since you came. Actually, you added a few problems since you came. And after, even if you leave, the church will have problems. But what it is when you came in, you was like, oh, praise God, God saved me. But now, when the enemy attacks your heart, you start to see everybody's problems. You start to, it affects your ministry. It will affect your marriage. When the devil attacks you, you know, you stood at the aisle, bro. She was coming down. You just couldn't wait to look behind. She was coming down. She was smiling. Hey, man, I do. You loved her. You give us big speeches and lifted her up. We took a million photographs. We waited until you came and turned up at your reception. After you took your million photographs, we were just nibbling on little mints at the table, waiting for some chicken, some rice. And then you came and you just danced into the reception and you did it and you sat at the table, you cut the cake, you went home, and now you're starting to hate her. Now you can't, you hate him. Something has changed in your heart. The enemy has attacked your heart. These are the vital organs. This is when you start looking back. I know none of you have ever looked back. This is when you start looking at the world, and it's like the world is having fun, man. You know, I like Formula One, and so at the moment, today they raced in Monaco. Monaco is one of the richest places of the world. It's a tax haven. Yeah. They say that the average lifespan of someone in Monaco is 90. You know, people are living good there. They're millionaires. Like every other person is a multi-millionaire. And so, you know, I'm just getting the specs on the races to find out who's going to be in pole position. But as they're telling us about the race, they're telling us about Monaco. And can I be honest? I'm like, they're living a life. Woo! They're living a life. They're on yachts, Maseratis, doing parties. Sometimes, I'm not saying I was looking back. But the reality is this, is sometimes the world can look better than the church. Sometimes the kingdom life, we're looking back at worldly life even though we're in the kingdom. Yeah. Hallelujah. Don't worry, it's not all cool yet. The music is playing. Let's pray that it's over. Hallelujah. Amen. Pastor, you're disrespectful, I know. but God is good. Pray for me. Hallelujah. Where am I? They're putting me off. Okay, I'm here. Yeah, that's right. I'm there. Looking back, that's what I was talking about. So when you say about looking back, sometimes you can start to reminisce about the old life. The old girlfriend, the old boyfriend, the old rave, the old drinking, the old smoking, the old hanging out. The devil is attacking your heart. That's why. Because this is a spiritual warfare and you need the breastplate of righteousness to defend those vital organs of your heart. When you find it so hard to pray and you find it so hard to read your Bible, don't condemn yourself. Say, God, help me. I'm in spiritual warfare. Rather than allowing the devil to lie to you. If you was a good Christian, you would leap out of bed speaking in tongues. And you would have prophesied over your husband or wife. The breastplate is only, listen, a breastplate, this is like a plate, would only be as good as the material that it's made of. Now in history, people have been making armor for a long time, even before Jesus' time. And so armor was made of leather. Me and my wife, we went to Victoria and Albert. I think it was a few Mondays ago. Maybe, we go out on a date night, a date afternoon, whatever it is. And so we went to the museum and we was just walking around and we saw the samurai armor and all of this stuff. And it's all leather. Bits of metal, and then you have metal armor, and then you go right, you know, a few thousand years, about 1,000 years ago, or 500 years, you had chain armor and all of this. But today, we don't have armor, but we have bulletproof vests. That's what people have, and it's made of like Kevlar and a certain type of layers and layers of man-made material. Sometimes it has a ceramic plates in there, and maybe metal in there. But really, good, really and truly, the armor is only as good as the material that it's made of. It's only as good as the material that it's made of. And our armor is made of righteousness. Yeah. Righteousness. That's what he says. It's the best way of righteousness. Now, when I'm reading this, I'm thinking about righteousness, righteousness. But I started to think, whose righteousness? Your righteousness? Your righteousness? The Bible says your righteousness is like a filthy rag. Your righteousness is like a filthy rag. Imagine if we cover your chest with a filthy rag. How would you run into battle with a filthy rag? One of the snipers would just... You're gone. You're taken out. It's not your righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness that God has provided for us is made of the righteousness of Christ. Now I need to take some time to explain this because I need some people to understand this. What is the difference? Well, your righteousness is that I've never been a murderer. I don't this and I don't that, and you've got a long list of all how good you are and all the things you haven't done and all the good things you did do. Wonderful. That's your righteousness. That's my righteousness. The Bible says that righteousness is like a filthy rag. You can't, that will not protect you. What is Christ's righteousness? Christ's righteousness is tried and tested. His righteousness is perfect. As I was putting together this sermon, I was researching about bulletproof vests, Kevlar, and all this thing, and the first bulletproof vest. And one of these guys that was talking about bulletproof vests, and he made it over loads and loads of layers of this man-made like nylon, ballistic nylon, made it. To prove the point, he shot himself. He put the thing on, and he's like, he was shaking, man. And he's like, yeah, this is, and it worked. He actually shot himself, tested it on himself. Then there was another guy, another company, and they had this super thin one. And so he was like, yeah, watch. And so he's standing there like this, and he's like, okay, ready? And he kept getting himself ready. And, you know, he let a guy shoot him. Now, it wasn't a big gun, but, it's pretty, and he's like, boom! And listen, that will still hurt. That's still going to hurt you, man. That's still going to, it could break, it still could bruise badly, if not break something. But you'll live. Amen. So he allowed him. Why would they do this? Because what they're showing you, this is how trustworthy it is. I will test it before I actually give it to you. See, Jesus, before he gives us this blessed prayer of righteousness, he allowed it to be tested on himself. See, Jesus was led up into the mountain, the Bible says, to be tempted of the enemy 3 times. And what that was is the product test of his righteousness. And the devil comes up and tests him 3 times. And so it's like the devil the first time says, Jesus is like, yeah, go for it, I'm ready. And so the devil like pulls out a magnum. The bullet just ping, bounces off. Jesus is like, yeah, ready for this? The devil's like, no problem, I'm ready for you. Get one of those rocket launchers, those bazookas, those ground-to-air missiles. Okay, I'm ready for you. The devil just, boom. Christ is like, didn't even move back an inch. I'm ready for you, devil. This is my righteousness. The devil's like, okay, goes into a bunker, starts to put the coordinates in. I'm gonna send a nuclear missile on him. When the smoke is cleared, Jesus is still there. There's not even a dent. There's not even a scratch. There's not even a mark. Actually, after the enemy has thrown everything at Jesus, he did not sin once. His righteousness, after it can, this righteousness of Christ is the toughest material that man could ever understand or know. All of hell could muster all its arsenal and every missile and dart and gun against the righteousness of Christ, and nothing would move it. And the Bible says, me and you have this. Protect. This is what he says. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Pastor, the devil is coming for me. He's throwing things at me. Put on Christ's righteousness. What does that mean? By faith. See, what that means is that when you go into the battle, stop talking about what you did and what you didn't do. I've never done this. I'm so good. Yeah. See, that's the problem, man. When people start, listen, there's one thing that people say to me, and they fall into sin. Oh, I'm so ashamed of myself. Okay, I understand that. I'm so surprised at myself that I did it. You're surprised? You're surprised that you sinned? I'm surprised that I live righteous. That's what I'm surprised about. Not when I sin, when I live righteous. Because I know who I am. And just enough that, you know what, I don't put my confidence in my own righteousness. I put my confidence in his righteousness. I'm marching into battle with the best pair of righteousness that Christ has given me. See, you are made righteous when you believe in him. When you forsake your own righteousness, when you admit, I'm rubbish. I'm rubbish. I'm spiritually bankrupt. I need a savior. Then you will be saved. Then you will be made righteous. This is how it is. So, Pastor, okay. So basically, it's not what I do, it's what he does. So Christ is perfect, so I'm made righteous. I just got to put it on. Amen. So where's the battle? You got to keep it on. This is what you got to do. You got to keep it on, because you know what the devil wants to do? Is to make us compromise and start to loosen it a bit. That's what he wants to do. He wants to make you compromise and loosen this, because the devil knows he can't penetrate this. It's impenetrable. What he needs to do is make you loosen it a bit. And what that means, how does this work? Okay, so you've been saved for 6 months now, you're living for Jesus, and then your boyfriend calls you up. He says, yeah, me and you need to, I miss you. We need to hang out a bit. Miss? What are you talking about? You say, okay. He says, yeah, come around tonight. Tonight? You say, okay. You know what you've done? You've loosened your shield. You've loosened the breastplate a little bit. It's like, yeah, this is a bit tight, a bit restricting, man. You know, come on, Jesus, loosen it up a bit. And so you loosen, you go around there. Now he's there. I don't know what he's doing. He wants to start talking about, oh, remember the good old days when we used to, and this and that. And you're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're loosening it a bit more. And he starts to sit next to you holding hands. You should never be in that house. You should never have been in that house. But now you're loosening it. And eventually he's now speaking sweet sinfulness into your ear, poison, and you're like, yeah, you're holding hands now, and he's got his arm around you. Before you know it, the armor is hanging right down here, man. It's by your waist. Should have been on your breastplate of righteousness. It's down here. The devil looks at you and says, now I got you. He pulls back his arrow, boom, right into your heart. Next minute, you wake up the next morning feeling ashamed of yourself. I can't believe it. Why did God allow me to fall like that? The pastor said his righteousness is impenetrable. It is. But you got to keep it on. You got to keep it on. You got to keep it on. That this is why the devil is always trying to make us compromise. He's always trying to convince us, loosen the armor a bit. Loosen it a bit. Just come on, man. Allow yourself to breathe a bit. Come on. It's too restricted down there at that potter's house. Go to a place. You need to find a church where people's armor's more loose and trendy. You need to find a church where the pastor don't care whether you got armor or not. See, in this church, every week, every service, we're checking people's armor, man. See, if you're a woman of God and a man of God, but let me go back to the story. You're a woman of God, that guy calls you, I'm missing you. Yeah, that's right, you keep missing me because you've been shooting at me and I've been dodging. You better be missing me. You ain't going to get me, you devil. He calls up, come round. You're like, no. Pull tight. Not even an inch, man. Not even a millimeter. You couldn't even slip a bit of paper in there. It's airtight. Not even, it's waterproof. Not even a drip of water would get in there. Ingress protection, IP55. You don't even know what that is. But that means that is high grade, waterproof. You could go on. Yeah, listen. Tighten your belt, tighten your breastplate, and march into battle. That's the only way you're going to beat the enemy. Let me close. I know. The last thing the Bible says, it says, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. See, it doesn't matter how powerful that soldier is. If he doesn't have any footwear on, he can't go nowhere. Think about it now. You could have, remember we spoke about last week, the M134. I love that thing, man. Thing is fierce. Before service, man, I was dealing with the enemy, man. Listen, I'm praying, loosen, binding. The devil was intimidated. We can intimidate the enemy. But you could have all of this weaponry and all of this. But if your foot, if you've got nothing on your foot, you can't go over rough terrain. You can't go through rough things. You can't handle rough situations. See, the ability to take ground over rough terrain with speed is dependent upon your footwear. And the Bible says that he's provided footwear for us, and it's made of the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. And so I was thinking about this, the gospel of peace. And so there's three things here that we must understand about the gospel. First, you got to believe it. You got to believe the gospel. And we're talking about armor, protection. When you really believe the gospel, it protects you. It will protect you, because what we're talking about is the gospel. This is the gospel. And you know, we need to explain this. I've sinned against God. All of you have done that. When we're sinning against God, it's almost like get out of it, God. The Bible says it's like we're an enemy with God. Let me show you here, because people always think, no, I was so nice. God loved me. He did love you, but listen. Romans 5 verse 10. For if when we were enemies, that's us. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through death of his son, much more having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. The Bible said we were enemies with God. But this is the gospel. Jesus came and died on the cross to make peace between you and God. you and God are no longer enemies. You're no longer at war. Every all your mistakes, everything you've done wrong, all of your problems, all of your deficiencies, God has wiped it away because of Christ. That's the gospel. It's free. It's a gift. Imagine this now. Gift, gift, gift. Imagine having a debt that's a million pounds. And you knew you could never pay it. And then someone comes along and says, listen, don't worry, I'll pay for it. Whew, stress. Peace. The gospel of peace. The Bible says that this gospel of peace, how does it work like shoes? Well, let me tell you this now. There are going to be times when you're going to have to go through tough situations. And you need to know, me and God, we got peace. Yes. You need to know there's a peace. There's a peace with God. I'm going through this difficult relationship. I've got difficulties in my marriage. I've got difficulties in my finances. I'm struggling with some stuff. I'm going through a tough time. But if you believe the gospel, it's like having some army boots on. You can walk through it. You can go through it. Because you know there's peace with you and God. You know God is not looking at you angry, ready to crush you and push you down and destroy you. No, there's peace. There's peace. He's already, the price has been paid for your sin. The price has been paid. You may look at yourself and say, Pastor, I'm worthless. I always fail. I've made so many mistakes. Listen, this is peace with you and God. I've made so many mistakes in my finances, in my family, in my marriages, in my purity. You could have made all of those things. There's peace with God. It doesn't matter who comes against you. You know with Christ you can make it. There's a protection. There's believing the gospel. Say, believe it. Believe. Look at someone and say, believe it. Come on, believe it. Next one is you got to live it. You got to live the gospel. What does that mean? Okay, we offended God. God didn't need us. But God stepped across the universe to make peace and reconciliation with us. The innocent one paid the price for the guilty one. Can you live that? When people offend you and do wrong to you, and you're the innocent one, can you cross the room and make peace and reconciliation with them? Can you live it? Okay, Pastor, living it, how does that really help me? Like, how is that like shoes? What that does is that gives you grip, because that will stop you from slipping. See, the Bible says this. It says, if you see someone that's been caught in a fault, they've made a mistake, they've sinned, it says, restore them in a spirit of meekness. Unless, he said, considering yourself, lest you slip. See, without the gospel, without you living the gospel, you keep slipping yourself. You keep slipping into sin. Some of the most judgmental people I've ever met are the people that keep slipping into the same sin. Because they got no grip. What does Jesus say? Jesus said, if you want me to forgive you, then forgive others. Doesn't he say that? See, when you live the gospel, you get grip. You don't slip. He keeps you. There's a grace. He says, listen, you had grace with them. I see how I'm going to have grace with you. You don't keep slipping. Many times, people that won't live the gospel are people that have no grip, barefoot, struggling. Last one is is believing the gospel, living it. Last one is preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel gives an agility to your life and keeps you moving. The Bible says, how beautiful the feet of those that preach the gospel. We know that's scripture. But what it is when you're preaching the gospel, you're telling people about Jesus, you're on the outreach, you're doing things, you're busy. It stops you from being you're like a moving target. It's harder for the enemy to get hold of you. It's harder for him to find you because you're over here witnessing. Okay, then you're following up over here. Okay, and then you're in church worshiping. Okay, and then you're witnessing on the bus and you're doing things. And so many Christians, they're not involved in witnessing, and they just basically, they come to church however they feel, read the Bible whenever it occurs to them, and then just sit at home and feel depressed. Feel depressed about their life. Listen, get up, get out, and tell others about this glorious gospel, about this merciful Savior, about the hope that you have of this new life. Amen. This this new life, the Bible says, it's like God puts a brand new pair of trainers on your feet, and now you're moving. You're moving with traction. Your life is growing. You're doing things. See, this week, I want you to do some homework, and I want you to think about these three things. Truth. Truth. Having the belt. Are there areas of your life that are under hypocrisy? You're hiding? Are you one thing in church, another thing outside of church? Listen, in the battle, it's going to catch you up. The breastplate of righteousness. Are you putting your hope in Christ or in your own goodness? Have you confessed your sin? Have you prayed yet to receive Christ? Are you born again yet? Or are you living on your own righteousness? Some of you Christians, is the devil been convincing you bit by bit to loosen your thing? I remember there was a lady in one of our churches. She got saved. She was on fire. I remember I was in Rotherhithe many years ago. I was the new convert class leader. And so she was on fire. She would always be talking about Jesus. She was like, Courtney, can you give me more Bible studies? More Bible studies? More Bible studies? Like, yeah. She got baptized. She punched the air. I remember she went, yeah, I'm living for Jesus. It's like, praise God, this one was on fire, man. One time I saw her in Southwark. She was walking. She was like, and then she saw me. Flicked it. It's like, smoke was coming out of it. Hi, brother. Living a double life. God ain't called you to live like that. Keep that breastplate on you tight. Yeah. Keep it on you tight. Don't compromise. There's no life for a real Christian. Compromise. Put on the army boots. Lace your boots up with the gospel. Believe it, live it, preach it. Let's do that this week. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.